Hey, you found the Bear Rugs, a quirky duo of podcasters clawing at you three times a week. On Mondays, we talk, banter, and ramble about a multitude of topics. Wednesdays are reserved for Ask a Bear Rug. We take the spiciest questions from our listeners, so be sure to hop on the site and send us a few. Fridays, we save those for movie and television series reviews. Thanks for tuning in, and welcome to the den. What's up, everyone? I'm James.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we're the Bear Rugs. Grab a chair, kick back by the fire.
If you have either of those things.
And grab a drink.
Ideally alcoholic.
And let the sweet, dulcet tones of the Bear Rugs fill your head.
We really appreciate you guys tuning in. And without further ado, let's get into it.
Let's do it. All right. Today, we're actually going to be doing our first official movie review. And we decided that we'd start with something that is near and dear to both of our hearts. And I actually was introduced to it by another movie. What movie?
The mistakeable, unmistakable bearing of massive talent.
The bearing, unweightable, massive talent.
I've never gotten that title right. I love That's movie, and I've watched it twice. I can
The unbearable weight of massive talent. I got it now, but you fucked me up.
Oh, I got like, you?
Wait, yeah. What is it? That's not the movie that we're reviewing, though. The movie we're reviewing is
Paddington 2, which they wax poetic about throughout that movie, which my wife and I thought that was one of the funniest jokes in that whole movie because we had seen it beforehand and it caught us just as off guard.
Yeah, I had not seen Paddington 2 and who was it that directed Unbearable Weight?
I don't know who directed it. It wasn't a famous director.
What about the writer screenplay? Was it anything like that or no?
No, that movie.
What if, dude, little spinoff here. I know we're going a little bit into Unbearable Weight, but also a great movie. If you guys haven't seen it, watch it. What if that's actually what happened? Like, between Nicolas Cage and this guy. And then they were like, let's do it. Like, let's make a movie.
I mean, the fact that it's in the movie, it happened to someone involved with the movie.
Right? 100%. So anyway, but it's got Pedro Pascal, who I simp for Pedro Pascal. That's my boy, dude. Ryan Gosling. Oh, of the movie, actors. I don't know if I said mine. Ryan Gosling, Pedro Pascal. Who's the one that played Standard Gabriel? And he played,
Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac, dude. I love him. They're so good. But, anyway, they, like you said, they harp on multiple times about the best movie ever was like Paddington 2. And, me not seeing it and then Nicolas Cage's character too are like, what? Are you serious? Paddington 2? And he's like, no, I'm telling you. And then, there's a scene where they watch it and they're all like, oh my God, that's the best movie ever. Mm-hmm. So I was like, dude, I got to watch Paddington 2.
Yeah, it's a running joke throughout the movie that Paddington 2 is amazing and the characters talk about it pretty often. And like I said, my wife and I thought it was hilarious because the first time we saw it, we were actually on a cruise. And on cruise ships, you only get like a couple channels. And one of them is a movie channel that plays like the same four movies 24 hours a day, the whole duration of the cruise.
Oh, boy.
And one of them was Paddington 2. And so, I mean, one sunburned, tired day, we just laid down and it came on. We're like, whatever, if we fall asleep. But no, we ended up loving it. So we watched like, it was halfway through. We watched the half and then rewatched it when it came on the next time full. And I probably watched Paddington 2 on that cruise. It was an 8-day cruise. I probably watched it 10 times on that cruise. Every time I wanted to rest, I like timed it up with when Paddington 2 was on. I'm going to go relax and watch some Paddington 2.
I'm going to say, I think there's a lot of, especially with like kids movies, you'll notice they've gotten, I think they, you know, obviously they did it, you know, back in the day too, when we were kids, but I would want to argue, and it may just be because I'm an adult now, but to a lesser extent than what it used to be, they would add little adult jokes in there to kind of giggle it off. But like Paddington 2 is, I mean, it covers some like very serious and like kind of difficult topics. You know what I mean? Like the whole family thing, the loss of like a very important like father figure, loved one, all of these things is tackled in like this kid's movie. And so it's like, you do not, as an adult, you do not expect that at all. You're like, oh my gosh, this is insane. And then the other thing that's so creative and so well done, specifically with Paddington 2, I think you and I probably have the same favorite scene, which is the whole prison thing.
Oh, the prison sequence is amazing.
This bear loses his grandfather, right? Like in a tragic way. I mean, ugh, savage way, right? ends up being estranged, right? Why does she end up sending him out again? I can't remember. Is it just...
I think just he's nowhere to go. For his own good. Like, hey, yeah. Go see the big city, live a better life.
Yeah, there's nothing for you here kind of thing. Like, she has to let him go and send him out. And, well, he ends up being in the city, and obviously he's a bear. And thankfully, you know, in this universe, no one's like super terrified. Maybe there's like one person that was like kind of scared of him, but most people, again, big city, right? If you've ever been in a big city, and that's what I'm saying. What they do so good about this movie is they take these elements that really happen in real life. Like when I was in New York, you know, I'm very much a social guy. I like to give, if someone's talking to me, I want to give them my full undivided attention whenever I can. In a big city, it's not like it that goes by the wayside. For example, we were eating at like an Applebee's or something, you know, some chain restaurant. And the guy was like, hi, what can I get you? And we're like, oh, we'd like this. Hey, what do you think about that? You know, we're kind of striking a little small talk with the dude. And he seemed weird. He seemed like a little off put by it, like when we were talking. And after a couple of trips of him coming back and forth, he came back. He goes, I got to ask something. You guys aren't from here, are you? And we're like, no, man, how could you tell? And he goes, because you're nice. And I was like, oh, dude, that's so terrible. But yeah, so I really liked how they kind of captured that. And there's so many other things like that they ran through. But what? I don't even remember why he went to prison. What did he do to get to prison?
Hugh Grant's character.
Hugh Grant's a bad guy Phoenix in that one too.
Phoenix Buchanan, and he plays a good bad guy in that as well.
He does. He's a villain.
Phoenix Buchanan, and there's a present at an antique store that Paddington's trying to buy and send back to his
grandma
aunt that raised
or aunt,
him.
Whatever the bear is.
And he sees Hugh Grant's character, who's like a down on his luck actor that's broke, trying to steal it because it's like a pretty expensive thing. Sees him trying to steal it, tries to stop him, and then Hugh Grant gets away with the item, and Paddington
pins it on Paddington.
Paddington's left, and so they blame him.
Yeah, and it's a bear, right, in this big city. And what's really crazy is there he so when he's kind of lost, like when he first gets there, like at the train station or whatever, he's a little bit lost, and no, you know, everyone's not really helping him, and you know, he had his own idea of like what it would be like to live in the big city, and it's like clearly like his dream is not at all what the reality is. And there's a family that comes by him, and you know, obviously the mom of this family is she's a sweetheart. She's like, you know, she's just a good-hearted person. And I think, you know, they lay to it later, but the husband has gotten to a point where he's almost jaded. He's almost mm-hmm. jaded with life. And, you know, he's got to be the family man. He's got to take care of his kids. He has responsibilities, and he can't be like what he used to be. So like when the wife, what was her name? You remember
Mary, but it's Miss Brown. Mary Brown. It's the Brown family.
The Brown family.
With.
Yeah. So when Miss Brown goes and engages with Paddington, she's like, she's, you know, obviously she sees this, you know, this poor lost little bear. It doesn't matter that he's a bear. It's just this, you know, she's empathetic, very empathetic. You can tell. And, you know, so she's like, hey, well, you can stay here while we try to figure out, you know, where we can take you. And the dad is not, Mr. Brown is not about it at all.
Yeah. He actually sees the bear first and goes like, nobody look at that bear. Yeah. There's a shady bear over there, which I thought was an interesting reaction rather than like, oh God, there's a bear.
Yeah, no, but, and that's kind of when you realize, okay, this is something that's not too out of place in this universe. And Paddington does not look, I mean, he looks disheveled. He looks pretty gruff, but he doesn't look, I mean, he doesn't look other than being a bear, he doesn't look menacing. Hey, how about that, dude? Our first episode is a movie about a bear. What's up, dude?
Yeah. Bear rugs. Just put two and two together. Yeah. So, nice.
But anyway, there's a little level of growth, there with Mr. Brown, which I thought was really neat. And the same thing with like the community, right? Because the community as a whole are not very accepting of what is essentially portrayed as an outsider, right? An outsider that's not of the city folk, right? It's like this, he doesn't know how things work here. He doesn't know what's going on, but he's very passionate, and he believes in himself, and he sticks to his morals regardless of the different pressures that kind of get approached to him. Who's the voice actor for that too?
For Paddington?
Yeah.
Ben Whishaw. So the Q from the modern James Bond movies.
Oh, the guy with the glasses. Yep. Yeah, and the curly hair. Dude, he sounded a lot like, and again, for all my any UK listeners, I do apologize. I have ear blindness. He sounds like the dude from Fantastic Beasts.
Eddie Redmayne. Eddie,
yes. It sounded like that's who I thought it was initially. So I apologize. but anyway, he crushed it, dude. He crushed it on there too.
Sally Hawkins is the mom, so it was kind of hard on me because like The Shape of Water kind of made me weird. Oh, she's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like you've
seen her in her birthday suit getting with a fish man, and you're just like,
this is a little spicy.
Like you can't.
You can't recover from that
career move either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a powerful role choice. She crushed it in the
Shape of Water though. Phenomenal, yeah.
Yeah. Same one. I haven't seen that one all the way through either. I think I started watching it and then I was like really tired and fell asleep and I was like, I'll watch it one day. And then I never picked it back up.
I can't remember if Godzilla King of Monsters came out before or after The Shape of Water.
I think you watched them around the same time?
I think it was after. No, her role in that is so silly. Like, she's just got this cheesy scientist role, and then maybe a third of the way through the movie.
In Godzilla?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe I thought you meant in The Shape of Water.
No, Godzilla. Maybe like a third of the way through the movie. I can't even remember which monster steps on her. I think it's King Ghidorah.
Oh, she gets crushed!
Just steps on her.
Damn.
And so she's got like this cheesy role and just gets stepped on in like a Godzilla movie. And I was like, well, you went from like Oscar caliber movie to popcorn flick getting stuff. I mean, like, we
that's showbiz, baby. That's showbiz, baby. I know we're kind of dipping away a little bit, but I did want to talk real quick since that just reminded me. One of the saddest ones I had was is it Simon Pegg? Who's the one from Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead?
Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg in the Star Trek, dude.
Oh yeah,
that hurt, man. That Scotty, but anyway, back to Paddington. Who was the dad who played Mr. Brown?
Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey, the Hugh Bonneville guy. Yeah, I recognize his face, but I hate to say it, but I don't really. There wasn't anything that I was like, oh man, that guy had a defining character role. But when he goes to prison, that's when the whole movie's like how some movies have like a level of pacing. This movie had a transformation. It wasn't even like pacing. It was like it became a whole nother movie. Mm-hmm. And man, that prison scene, everything with him being in prison, it's so crazy because it's like this dark, intense thing, but they're still keeping it kind of lighthearted and silly. And it's cracking through like all of these reservations and these shells of these different characters. By far, one of my favorite scenes.
People noted that the prison, the whole sequence was very Wes Anderson-esque. Like the whimsical colors and like the framing and the production design, everything about it just kind of
had that Wes Anderson
movie
vibe.
Within a movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was super great. And that's, if you weren't drawn in, I mean, obviously it's a decent story on its own, but you are, at least in my opinion, I was very much hooked once we got to the prison section. I had to figure out how Paddington was going to get out of this, dude. I was like, what is going on? Like, there's no way that they're just going to leave him in jail. He's a bear in jail. And he's like, again, what I love the most about the character is that he's still very true to his own principles and his own behaviors and the things that he knows to be himself. He's still very true to that. And obviously in real life, that can be a good and a bad thing, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do need to be able to pivot, but what I liked about it is that his principles were very much not judgmental. They were more, like creating an avenue for other individuals to like be themselves. But when other people tried to bring him down, it was like, he didn't let it affect him. And then there's definitely, as it progresses, there's some situations where he reaches that tipping point where it's like, oh man, like everything is going wrong. Everything that he's trying to do, everything that he believes in is like going wrong. And it's like, do I stay true to myself or do I step back and like, let the darker things happen? And it's a kid's movie. Yeah. We're talking about a freaking kid's movie, dude. So it's like, it's just it's a banger, man.
At least Paddington's a fairly good role model for children.
Yeah.
Like that. Those,
for sure.
Those stoic personality traits of his to try to always do right by those that care about him and others in general. Like yeah. even the neighbors, everybody loves him because, but yeah, Paddington's a good role model. Let me ask you this. Have you seen the first one? Did you ever go back and grab that one? You don't need to because.
Can you give me like a general summary of like what happened in the first one? Because I may have, and like I'm blending them both together.
I don't like it nearly as much. I will say that. And so, no, I really can't. All I know is that. So it's got typical Paddington shenanigans.
Is it him and the two bears together?
No. So he's in London in that one too. So this series gives you two like origin stories.
Oh, so Paddington 2 is like a whole different origin story then.
Yeah. Well, it tells like a time frame that didn't tell in the first one.
Okay. Who was the guy that he was supposed to meet initially? That was going to take care of him in the city.
I don't remember.
Was that guy in the first one? Is that where that
maybe
correlated? I don't know. I can't remember. It's been
a while since I've seen the first one. I remember it was decent. It wasn't nearly as good as the second. And apparently a third is in production, which I'm excited about.
I'll be watching that.
Brendan Gleeson is Knuckles McGinty. Speaking of the prison
McGinty, boy. He was like the hardest convict in that entire prison. Like everyone was like terrified of this guy. And Paddington, I would say even though Paddington was a bear, he paled in comparison to like the level of dominance that that Knuckles had, right? Like Knuckles was, when Knuckles' presence was on there, he almost demanded respect, even to the audience in a way. It was kind of weird, like fourth wall. You're like, yo, dude, this guy is, don't get on this guy's bad side. Like Knuckles McGinty, man.
Unless you had a marmalade sandwich handy. That's it.
Even the guards seemed to be a little bit more. Yeah.
Gave him a wide berth.
Yep.
Yeah, Brendan Gleeson's good in everything.
Almost everything. Oh, I mean, there. I think there are a couple roles. He was in Wolverine, right? The X-Men Origins.
Never saw it.
Maybe that wasn't Brendan Gleeson. There's a guy that looks just like him. That was Irks.
It's probably him. He's in like everything.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was Brendan Gleeson. I think it was a different guy. The guy who, it might have been the guy who played Lamarck in Ocean's 12.
Oh, okay.
I think, I hate to say it, but I get old chubby dudes mixed up. I have some face blindness there too. But yeah, that and you know, obviously the prison scene, if you guys have seen it, you already know there's like a whole musical number and bit to it. That's crazy. And it's just fascinating to see. Honestly, it gave me the same as like Ted Lasso vibes. Like this character is very much defined who they are. And when they're put into these environments that are, I want to call them inert, as in like the there's not a lot that happens in the environment that changes, right? Like this environment has been kind of set and it's almost stagnant. Like there's not much going on. This character is introduced. It causes these ripples that then turn into these waves. And right when you think that it's going to break and it's going to crash, it almost creates this like harmony between like, so it's like just his presence being there after he's left, it almost improves the quality of that place and that environment and that interaction. And it almost awakens a part inside of these people that they thought was long dead, right? It like reignites the spark for them. So I think characters like that are fascinating. I like to, not to toot my own horn, but I like to think I do that as well, right? Like if I show up in an environment, I can kind of have that effect too. So I do relate in some ways to that. So another reason why I like really like the movie, but yeah, it's an emotional roller coaster. It gets into a lot of additional things. That you're not really expecting, man. It hits you heavy in a good way. By the end of it, I mean, I feel like we're already kind of spoiling it for those who haven't seen. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, but that's fine. I mean, it's been out since 2017.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we haven't obviously, for the most part, quoted anything directly. So, yeah. Or given the resolution.
Yeah,
to the film or anything like that. So I don't be discouraged by anything you've heard or think you know everything there is to know about the movie. Still watch it. Yeah, you're going to enjoy it. If you have children, they're going to enjoy it.
Out of 10, what are we talking, bro?
Paddington 2, man, 8.5.
I'm right there with you. I'd say 8.5 out of 10. The only reason being is that and I hate to say this because it is a kid's movie, but it was like some of the dialogue was a little too cheesy. Some of the characters' decisions, I felt like they could have been framed a little bit better, a little bit more impressively. But it's a great movie. I can't say that it isn't. It's a great movie, but I don't want to give it like a 10, you know? Yeah, especially for a kid's movie.
Yeah, I'm like, not going to. God damn. I probably won't get. The only kid's movie I can think of that I've given a 10 is Fantastic Mr. Fox. Wes Anderson, again.
Another one. Oh, you and this Wes Anderson guy, man. Yeah. I need to figure out who this is. Shit, dude. 10 movie that's a kid's movie?
I'll take that back. I can think of another one.
I like The Bad Guys. I wouldn't give it a 10, though.
Actually, I just thought of two. I thought of two more. Bad Guys is okay. It's decent. It's good.
I like Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
That's my stand. I stand for
real,
Sam.
Real. He's got a cool voice.
Yeah.
And then the needle drop of the Chemical Brothers. Bad Guys.
In The Bad Guys. I got you.
Yeah. Lego Batman, 10 out of 10 kids movie to me.
I mean, I give it like a set. I like Paddington 2 more than I like. You guys don't know. Jeremy's looking at me in absolute Lego shock
Batman.
Right now.
Lego Batman's the best Batman.
What?
Yeah. No, actually, I'm saying
Dark
that
Knight.
Now.
How dare you?
Lego Batman is better than The Dark Batman. Knight.
Oh my gosh.
Better than The Dark Knight.
I'm pissed. No, I'm not that pissed. But
I hope they made enough room in Heath Ledger's grave for him to do a backflip.
Wow, dude. Come on, bro. Okay.
Because Lego Zach Galifianakis' Joker in Lego Batman. Bro. I'm just kidding. Obviously. Yeah, he's teasing. Heath Ledger is bar none the best Joker. Ever was or ever probably will be.
Barry Coogan's adaptation of Joker.
He's got the craziness to him to be as crazy as Heath Ledger, but I don't know. Heath Ledger just,
his adaptation of Joker was insane, without a doubt. But we're digressing a bit. The Legos are good. I didn't like Lego Batman that much. I did like the other Lego movies.
I know.
But outside of Paddington 2, I can't really think. I mean, I love Pixar, dude. Give me a Pixar movie any day. I'll tear that up. WALL-E, bro? I'm
trying to think of any of those are a 10 to me.
Up? Sorry, no, I'm hitting the P pretty hard there.
Like,
sorry, guys.
I don't like Up.
You didn't like Up?
No.
What is wrong
like
with
you? Two-thirds of the Pixar movies.
Is Wreck-It Ralph Pixar?
No.
I liked Wreck-It
Disney
Ralph.
Disney Animation Studios, I believe.
Yeah, I liked Wreck-It Ralph.
It was okay.
That one, I'm going to be honest, dude. That one made me tear up a little bit, dude.
Oh, that's rough.
When the glitch, when she was like... getting unplugged, dude. Fuck. That hurt, bro. No? Nothing?
Nothing.
When he started breaking her car, because he's Wreck-It Ralph. Oh, bro. That was so heart-wrenching.
I'd be hard-pressed to care less about characters.
Wow. Dude, I can't believe you. I'm so mad at you right now, dude. Bro, he smashed the shit out of her car, dude. And he felt bad doing it, but he's like, oh, I'm Wreck-It Ralph. And he's just trying to do it to protect her. It's like well-intentioned idiot shit. And it's like, fuck, dude. And she's like, she's so devastated. And she's trying to stop, but she's powerless.
James, how many well-intentioned idiots have you ever known me to like?
That's fair.
I don't do well with well-intentioned idiots.
You like one, this guy. I think I'm a well-intentioned idiot, don't you?
No. You're well-intentioned, but you're not an idiot.
Not an idiot?
Most of the time.
Yeah, well, I'm truth first, you know? So it's like, in that situation, I would be like, listen, Glitch, like, if you drive, they're going to unplug you. Like, this is what they told me about you. Like, do you still want to do this? And if she was like, yes, I do, then I'd be like, do it. You know what I mean? Fuck Turbo. You didn't know he was Turbo at the time, but like I'm definitely more of the mindset. We're segueing a little bit, but even in Hogwarts Legacy, there's a side quest where this lady's like missing her brother. She can't find her brother. And so you're following the trail and he's been turned into an Infernius, which is like a zombie, right? And so you doink him and then your character says, it's really annoying that my character said this because my character wouldn't say this. I'm pissed. But he says after you murder him, she's way off in a town. She doesn't know, right? He goes, I don't think she would like to know what really happened to her brother. And I'm like, of course no one would like to know what happened to their brother, but I'm going to fucking tell her. And so you go back and this guy is like, he's been in this village forever. He's been working the store with his sister. It's like literally been his passion to run the store. And you get all this backstory before that. Well, you go back to her and it gives you two choices. It's really fucked up. She has two side missions too. One of them is like, go take out these goblin outposts. And the other one is find what happened to my brother. And when I went to turn him in, I should have turned in the goblin outpost one first, because the second one, I was going to drop the heavy news. Oh, by the way, your brother's dead. But I turned in the brother one first. So what ended up happening was I was like, hey, yeah, found your brother. He was a zombie and I murdered him. And she's like, what are you getting? But you have the option to tell her that he decided to leave and start another life. And it's like, why are you going to do some bullshit out? She's going to read through that lie, number one, which is going to make you look like dog shit, in my opinion, right? And then number two, it's like, they deserve the truth, no matter how hard it is, right? And it's sad, dude. That voice actress, she did so good. She started just breaking down, and you're like, hey, by the way, I cleared out these goblin camps. So it's just like, I don't know. It was a little messed up. But I'm very much truth first, so I would argue that on the well-intentioned idiot. I can't believe you didn't like Wreck-It Ralph. You like Wally?
No.
No?
No.
Not out of 10.
Oh, Wally out of 10? 5. Maybe 4.
Is it what would you rate as the best? Wow.
The best Pixar?
Yes. Bro, I'm going to be honest with you. You are throwing some daggers right now. I'm letting you know right now. I
throw daggers at a lot of people with movies.
You are throwing some daggers, dude. I just want to give you a heads up.
Toy Story 4.
You like Toy Story 4?
Yeah.
It's good? Yeah. Is that the one?
Duke Kaboom. It's the newest one.
Okay. I don't even remember that one.
Ducky and Bunny.
Okay. Okay.
It was good. I like all three of the Cars movies.
Dude, I've never watched one, and I'm not going to watch one. I do not subscribe to that hillbilly. What's his name?
Oh,
Larry the Cable Guy. That whole entire Jeff Foxworthy, that whole group. I'm sticking to my guns on this. I think those motherfuckers are shady. Fight me. I think they're like fucking the equivalent of like a hillbilly cartel. I genuinely believe they're doing some dark shit, dude.
So they're not even with each other most of the time. First of all, Jeff Foxworthy, I've never thought was funny. He's stupid.
If you think Bill
Engvall's like, okay. Larry the Cable Guy, I can't stand either, but that's all like a shtick. Like he doesn't dress like that. Hey, and actually doesn't even have that much of an accent. He's just putting on a show.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah.
Hey, dude, Ron White is a funny son of a bitch.
Ron White?
Yeah. The one that always has the cigar and the scotch, he's the least hillbilly of them. Oh, he's hilarious, dude.
Doesn't do it for me. I will say this. I got to admire the hustle. Those guys get it. Like they've leaned in on the trope and they get it. They know their demographic and they crush it. Full 100%. I admire their grind. I admire their hustle. Nothing but respect. But those dudes are shady. I'm sticking to my guns.
They haven't rolled together in 15 years, dude.
Yeah, it's because they're doing shady shit. I'm telling you right now. They had to lay low. Like, they started getting caught. That's what I think. But anyway, yeah, so I'm not going to watch the Cars. Call it a bias, but I'm not doing it.
You can get by them. Mater is my least favorite character also.
Is it Mater? Nader?
What Mater. Is this? M-A-T-E-R.
Oh, okay. Which, I bet he's a Mater. Ayo.
But I think it's the second one.
Is that Lightning McQueen? Is that his name, Steve McQueen?
Lightning McQueen. Okay. It's Owen Wilson voices it.
Damn.
The second one takes place. It's like a James Bond spy spoof. Takes place in Europe. It's good. And then the third one's just like a epic tale of greatness fallen and clawing back to get it again.
Trying to get. Yeah.
The first one's probably my least favorite. It's re-achieve just a typical your former underdog glory. Story.
Yeah.
But it's still good.
Coming of age.
But I like them because when I was a kid, I always wished Cars could talk. And so then that movie came out. I was like, well, this came out too late, but I still like it.
What is How to Train Your Dragon? That's DreamWorks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't love those either.
I mean, I like the music. I will say that. I like the music a lot. The first one was okay, but also Craig Ferguson, king, dude. He's one of the little Viking guys in that one. But yeah, so there's obviously tons of kids movies that have like adult kind of entertainment elements to it. Paddington is like, you feel like you're in a story, man. You're like, I cannot believe that they're addressing these very complex topics using a fucking CGI bear. You know what I mean? So
yeah, It's great. The unmistakable weight of massive talent.
Unbearable weight of massive talent.
Oh, man, that would have been my first time. We would have all got been him. Front seat to me getting it right for the first time.
Not again, today.
It's a great movie. I watched it back to back 2 days in a row. I love that movie. It's one of the best, like, buddy comedies.
Yeah, ever. Hang, like when you, it's one of those things where you meet somebody from a different walk of life, and you don't realize that you're going to hit it off. I mean, in a way, you don't realize that you're going to hit it off as well as you do, right? Because obviously Pedro Pascal, like, adores Nicolas Cage. And Nicolas Cage is, in this one, is very much egocentric. Mm-hmm. And so he's unable in the beginning to establish that. But once he does kind of open it up, he realizes, like, man, this is a fucking real one, you know? And it's and that happens a lot, right? Like, I could even say Fresh Nika and I, our friendship was like that. I saw Fresh as, like, you know, hey, he's this guy that does Vine. He does a lot of, you know, social media type stuff. He's you know, he's kind of in but I never really thought that we would, like, hit it off as much as we did until we actually started, like, kind of talking and hanging out and spending time. I was like, man, this guy's fucking, like, we're, like, very much aligned, right? It's like you start learning those things about people, and it, like, I don't know, you just change it. I would even say our dynamic, in a way, that I would say there were definitely some, like, pivotal moments, right, where you're just like, like, when you know this is not going to be just an acquaintance, this is going to be someone that I'm like spending a lot of time around. We had one of those too.
Right. Yeah. And we also, over the course of the years, have got we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two type deal going on.
Yeah. 100%. Oh my gosh. Good Lord above. Similar. Would you say we had similar backgrounds, or would you say similar?
Backgrounds? Not at all.
Yeah. No, we were very much different there, but, like, I don't know. What about, like, processing, interpreting data? Do you think it's similar?
Maybe.
I think we're able to articulate. What we really excel at is articulating, right? Like, hey, this A, B, and C. This is what I think about A, B, and C. And then the other person going, oh, okay, I understand what you're saying, right? Because someone might say hard, and then there's a piece that can get lost in translation, right? Like, my definition of hard compared to someone else's definition could be night and day, right? But I think we do pretty good about, like, we have a similar diction when we're trying to talk about different stuff. But anyway, not to go too far off topic there.
Yeah, just thank you, Pedro Pascal and Nicolas Cage's characters. Shout out. For showing the world Paddington 2, all the holdouts. We grabbed all the holdouts.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen Paddington 2 yet, definitely scoop it up. Is it streaming anywhere? Do you know? Does it tell you if it's streaming anywhere?
I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix.
Yeah, if you can get a hold of it, I can actually pull up Netflix really quick and see if it's showing up in there. But yeah, it's a banger. I think I did watch it on Netflix. Now that you say that,
I think both of them are on there. At least the second one, but I think both of them are on there.
Paddington. Well, no, now it's just Paddington.
Oh, the first one?
Yeah, it doesn't have Paddington 2 now. It does have Bad Guys, but it doesn't have Paddington 2.
Hmm.
Wow. Well,
watch the first one and then just know that the second one is better.
Way better. Way better. You're getting the microwave pizza roll Paddington. No, Paddington 2 is the worst.
I tried to get my daughter to, and she's less than 2 years old, so any movie is a tough sell. I tried to get her to like it. My son's 6, and he sat through it and watched it all, and he cackles whenever Paddington messes up royally or, like, falls off something. A typical kind of shtick that 6-year-olds like.
Yeah.
But I really, really wanted her to like it because since we're going to London soon, like, the little Paddington bears are all over the place. Like, as, like, a souvenir, and I wanted her to get one because she's really into stuffed animals. Mainly she likes mermaids and cats right now. But I wanted her to want a Paddington, so I played the movie hoping I would be the situation where she sees one and, like, reaches, like, oh, I know what that is. Yeah. But she didn't much care for it.
Yeah. But yeah, all in all, absolutely outstanding movie. Full, what do bear rugs give? 5 claws up? 2 claws up?
I wonder if they're like a
bear arms up.
Never occurred to me, but I wonder if they have like the 4 claws on fingers and then like the honeydew claw on like their elbow, like a dog or whatever.
I don't know.
Okay. I might have just made up a
dog claw, hybrid here. What, claw. What does it use for, like, catching the beehive. They like,
I don't know. That's a question. People's for the elbow. Vet.
Question for the scholars, I'm afraid. People's elbow. The
I don't think it's beehive. As far up as the elbow, even.
Dewclaw.
Oh,
I mean, they got like
I think
thumb.
I might have added honey. I think it's just called a dewclaw.
A dewclaw?
I think they got dog lovers on one of our socials. Correct us.
Tell
there.
Us. Tell us what the bear.
First of all,
is
it a honeydew claw or a dew claw, and what is it for, and where is it? Is it elbow? Or is it wrist? Is it
well
in the normal spot? And we're just crazy.
Not just because Paddington's a bear, but because it's a great movie. I give it to do honeydew claws up. Honeydew claws in the air.
I'm not even playing that game. I'm just staying with my
8.5 out of 10. 8.5 out of 10. That's rewatchable on the Jeremy scale, isn't it?
That's I don't know if I'm going to watch it continuously for the rest of my life,
but you'll definitely revisit.
I'll watch it several times. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, go see it. Paddington 2. Also, if you have any comments on Paddington 2, let us know, right? Hit us with that, that feedback, on thebearrugs.com. Just drop something in there. Tell us what you liked about Paddington or what you didn't like about Paddington. If you say that you didn't like Paddington, I will find you. I will hunt you. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so don't put your address on there. Paddington.
It's like, come on, claw up, bro. Let me see. You don't like Paddington? I'm standing for Paddington, little guy. All right. So I think we'll wrap it up. You got anything else you wanted to chime in on?
No, sir.
All right. So that about wraps everything we have for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, don't be a bear rug.
Don't do it. You'll regret it. But seriously, thanks everyone, and we hope you tune in next time. If you guys enjoyed the podcast, be sure to visit our site at thebearrugs.com for additional episodes. We have all of our socials listed there. You know what they are. Give us a like, share, comment. If you're part of the older crowd, Pony Express that shit if you have to. Thanks for listening, everyone.